Hi, I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
We're from the podcast Guide to the Unknown, where we only talk about scary stuff and have a good time doing it.
Come join the scary fun, everyone.
Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find Guide to the Unknown.
Greetings, constant listeners. It's Jen 2, the Rage Adams. What you're about to hear is a clip from our exclusive Patreon book episode on Stephen King's new epic fairy tale. You can hear the full episode right now, though, by becoming a member of our Patreon, The Barons. In addition to this ep, you can unlock, no lie, over hundreds of hours worth of exclusive content. From our Stephen King archival series, to our Spooky Souls Midnight, to over a dozen documentaries on all your favorite Stephen King movies. We even have a few spinoff pods, Talkin' Hawkins on Stranger Things, and the newly minted Crichton cast that will cover a selection of Michael Crichton novels. So get it all by subscribing now through the link in the description of this episode, or you can visit www.patreon.com/thebarons. Hope to see you there over long days and pleasant nights.
But here's part of the interview that King gave, I think we should touch on here, though, is he wrote, where he responded, "When I'm writing, I'm all about myself and about the reader. So that's a great thing to have. I won't say that I never in my wildest dreams dreamt of huge amounts of success, but what I really wanted was to be able to do it for a living. The rest has just been what us Americans call gravy. It's all gravy now." So Mike, let me ask you a question. When it comes to King, is it all gravy for us at this point?
Oh, 100%.
You know, if he writes 10 more novels, right, and they don't live up to the glory days, at this point, does it really affect his legacy, or are we kind of in this bonus territory?
Here's where I was thinking about this a lot, and I think we've been in bonus territory for a very long time. I mean, if you really want to get down to it, he was technically there by 1980. As far as I'm concerned, because imagine if he just kind of left up in 1980. Imagine if he saw Empire Strikes Back and he was like, all right, I'm going to write Star Wars 3, goodbye books. You'd still have, this is what he's left with, we would be left with, including Bachman. He would have left us with Carrie, Salem's Lot, The Shining, Rage, Night Shift, The Stand, The Long Walk, and The Dead Zone. I mean, wow. I can't even think of best-selling authors today and in the last 20, 30 years, even Crichton involved in there, that would have that much articulation and that many 10 out of 10 and diamonds. I mean, so even by 1980, had he just left, you could make the argument that a lot of it could still be in a section of, bonus material where it's but he still has those books. Look at that. Look at those books. Mm-hmm. And yet we have 40 years of it. And, he could easily right now be in that much rumored Grisham route where he's dusting off high school and college essays and putting them out as bestsellers, but he doesn't. I mean, he's granted, Under the Dome and 1122 are ideas that he had in the 70s that were kind of germinating in his mind, but he went back and then delivered some of it. And those are two of some of his best works of all time. And those are 40 years after his career started, or 30 years after his career started. So it's I mean, this is so beyond bonus material that's why I can't really, it's almost hard to even get sort of somewhat critical about some of this stuff. Cause it's almost
I'm just happy we're getting it.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. So that's kind of where I'm at with it right now. But I mean, it's just astounding the quality he's had over the years. And so, if I tend to be a little more critical in this episode, know that I respect the man.
After 5 years, if people are still having problems wrapping their heads around the fact that we might not like one book out of 60, then there's some great free psychotherapy out there for them. Randall, how about you? What's your viewpoint on this?
I think the thing with King is that I think you can obviously say that 70s period was one of the most incredible runs and he'll never really top that again. But a lot of artists, you can sort of mark a decline, right? You can say, okay, from here on out, it's downhill. And even great artists, but they'll just never be what they were. I mean, even Spielberg, I think a lot of people can say that. I think with King, he's always had bad novels throughout his career, even Rage and Roadwork from those early eras. And The Running Man, and throughout the 80s and throughout the 90s, he'll have a bad book. He'll have a book that a lot of people don't like or that he'll admit isn't very good, like Tommyknockers, although I'm a defender. But then he'll release something wonderful like Misery, like after that, you know, or no, I guess Misery was before Tommyknockers, but you know what I mean? Like, he's always,
I think Misery able... wasn't that after Tommyknockers.
It was before. Well, I know we did our episode before because he was still on drugs when he did Misery. And Tommyknockers was the last book he wrote on drugs. So, but it was, but I think that's the thing for me is he's shown us so many times that he's still got it.
Yeah.
That even when he makes a dud, and even then, like, it's hard for me to ever say, like, a King book isn't worth reading. You know what I mean? There may be a few, but I think that there's always something in there that is truly unique, truly wild. Like, I'm that's why I always say I'm, like, excited to do Cell, even though I've had not a single person tell me, actually, Cell is good. Like, there's Cell defenders.
I can't be there for you on that one.
Right, but there's, like, no Cell defenders in the way that there is Tommyknockers defenders. But I know that when I read Cell, which is one of the few I haven't read, I know I'm going to find something great in there, and it'll make it worth it. And so I think that's my thing with King is I would love 10 more books, and even if none of them live up to... you know, like when you think about his last great books, it's like Revival, 1122, Under the Dome, at least for me. And obviously, I think Later was good. I think Billy Summers was good. I think like he still has that ability. This is probably my least favorite of, you know, this more recent run, I think.
Same.
Although, I don't know, maybe I like it more than The Institute, but whatever.
Jim, what about you?
I don't know. It's hard for me to think about King's legacy as a whole, you know, because I'm afraid that I'm going to jinx something and that we're not going to get any more books. And like, I was thinking about how long this book was and how I was struggling through sections of it. And then I thought, yeah, but someday I'm going to have no more books to read, you know? So it is at least a gift for me to keep reading like my favorite author. And I agree, Randall, there is something, there's always something that I enjoy, even in Cell. Like there are lots of parallels to Billy Summers, which I really enjoy. So I would be interested to maybe pair those together a little bit. And so I don't know. I tend to think of him in like eras, you know, like there's the 70s era. Then there's like the 80s cut run, which is like a lot of the kind of more bonkers stuff. And then there's my favorite Eclipse series. And so it's hard for me to think about one of those eras as a bonus because it just feels like a different phase of his career. And it feels almost like a different writer in some sense. Like it's obviously always him. And you can, like, his voice just weaves through all of his books. You can't ignore it. But it feels, so when I think about this as this bonus territory, I kind of just think of, like, is this a bonus phase we're going to go into, you know? Because this very much feels like the beginning of a new era for him, which is really exciting for me. But yeah, I mean, there's nothing he could write now that would make me say, oh, screw King. He sucks.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.
Every town has its dark history. Hometown Ghost Stories is a paranormal podcast that goes town to town all across the globe, exploring the world's most haunted places, tapping into the dusty archives and the darkest corners to bring you the most terrifying stories of real people and their harrowing experiences. Hometown Ghost Stories dives into the history of haunted locations and investigates why and how these places earned their terrifying reputation. Rob, Dave, and Jesse go live every Tuesday night after an uninterrupted documentary-style breakdown on the case, followed by an open discussion with live viewers. Subscribe today to listen to Hometown Ghost Stories on your preferred podcast platform or watch the video version on YouTube and now Spotify. Head on over to the Bloody FM podcast network and check out Hometown Ghost Stories, if you're brave enough.